Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
Let me touch Him. Let me touch Jesus. Let me touch Him as He passes by. Then when I shall reach out to others, they shall know Him. They shall live and not die. Well, oh, to be His hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Oh, let me touch Him, let me touch Jesus, so that others may know and be blessed. Well, I was straying so far from Jesus. Now I was lonely, I had no peace within. Well, then the hand of my Savior touched me. Well, now I'm reaching to others in sin. Well, oh, to be His hand extended, oh, reaching out to the oppressed. Oh, let me touch Him, let me touch Jesus, well, so that others may know and be blessed. Now there's a river flowing, oh, from within and to cleanse my soul. Well, and the flow sets my heart to glowing. Well, Holy Spirit, more than silver or gold. Well, oh, to be His hand extended, oh, reaching out to the oppressed. Oh, let me touch Him, let me touch Jesus, so that others may know and be blessed.
I know that you enjoyed Ray's singing. Last week, we continued talking about peace. So let's review for a moment and then continue where we left off. We've been talking about the peace of God, or Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Most people know that the Hebrew word shalom is understood around the world to mean peace. However, peace is only one part of the meaning. Shalom is used to both greet people and to bid them farewell. But it means so much more than hello or goodbye. Hebrew words go beyond their spoken pronunciation. Each Hebrew word conveys feeling, intent, and emotion. So shalom is more than just simply peace. It is a complete peace. It is a feeling of contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. You know, according to Strong's Concordance, the word shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. And it comes from the root word meaning to be complete, perfect, and full. Of course, there is only one way to find true shalom or peace, and that is in the word of Yahweh, or God's word. Many search for fulfillment, happiness, and contentment in material possessions, money, sex, entertainment, and so forth. But those things do nothing to fulfill the little hole in our soul that only God can fill. Those things only serve to distract and prevent us from finding true peace, the shalom, that can only come from Him who created and put all things into place. We have been talking about the seven thieves that can steal our peace. External circumstances and disarray are out of control. An imagination that runs wild. The failure to be filled with the Spirit. Relationships that are broken. And we need to know that it's important to find out if you're not in the will of God. Six is what to do when peace leaves. Check to see if God wants to reveal something to you. And number seven, there is no peace when there is sin in your life. The first one, the external circumstances in disarray are out of control. What do we do when the circumstances of our life are out of control and our peace is stolen? Well, when our external circumstances are out of control, out of our control, we need to remember that God's peace is not found in external things, but in the presence of Jesus, our Jehovah Shalom. So when these circumstances come and everything looks like it's going to fall apart, just cry out to Jesus, the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom, asking Him to be with you, and then give thanks for His presence and His promises. Because it tells us in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? The second one was the imagination that runs wild. First of all, we need to understand that imagination is anything that is not absolute fact. What do you do when anxiety-producing thoughts come? Well, we do what we're told in 1 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. For though we walk in the Spirit, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, according to this scripture, we have the weapons needed to destroy speculations. If you don't bring these imaginations or fearful thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, guess what? It'll bring torment. And you say, well, how do I bring them into obedience of Christ? Well, you do this by Philippians 4:8 them. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. If your thoughts are not meeting these requirements, then refuse to dwell upon them. And let verses 6 and 7 of that same chapter be true in your life, and you will have peace. Because it tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice here, the phrase, be anxious for nothing, means literally to stop being anxious. But you say, how? Well, the word says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In this verse, the word for prayer is a Greek word meaning to look at the character of God. At God as He is, His names, His attributes, which is why we're to come with thanksgiving. Wow, good word there. The term supplication means to make specific request. So when our imagination wants to run wild, threatening to tear our minds apart with worry, our first action ought to be to get along with God and worship and adore Him, focusing on His greatness and His majesty. You know, it's amazing how the anxiety and the problems begin to take on a different perspective, because we'll realize that the God of peace is in control and can handle our problems. So remember, talking to God about everything that concerns us is the first step toward victory over worry. The third thief that can steal our peace would be failure to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 and 21 tells us, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments, and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. At all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Here, the term being filled has the connotation of total control. The person who is filled with, for example, sorrow, fear, anger, faith, or even Satan, is no longer under his own control, but he's under the total control of that which dominates him. To be filled in this sense is to be totally dominated and controlled, and it is the most important sense for believers. We need to be filled with the Spirit, as we have read in Ephesians 5 and 18, because it's not to have him somehow progressively added to our lives until we're full of him, but it is to be under his total domination and control. The wonderful fact is that you cannot be filled with and controlled by both fear and the Spirit at the same time. Because it tells us in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. The fourth thief that could steal your peace is relationships that have been broken. Colossians 3:12 through 15 in the Message Bible reads, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this is going off and doing your own thing. And then it tells us to cultivate thankfulness. According to this scripture, we see that love is very important, as is forgiveness. In verse 15, it tells us to let the peace of God rule in your heart. The ideal of the Greek word rule is to be like an umpire. Paul is instructing the saints at Colossae that if there's a conflict, unforgiveness, bitterness, etc., that they were to let God's peace rule in their heart. And it tells us in Matthew, the 5th chapter, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, we need to let God's peace be the umpire. Don't catch yourself saying, well, I'm going to give them what they deserve, or when they get right with me, then I'll get right with them, so forth and so on. Why not? Well, because that is not letting peace rule in your heart. But in fact, it's letting sin reign in your mortal body and is presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. As it tells us in Romans 6, 12 through 13, and I like the way it reads in the Message. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time, remembering you have been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny anymore. You're living in the freedom of God. You know, you cannot serve two masters. Broken relationships and a desire to get even will steal your peace. But as we are told in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, the Greek word for blessed described those who are in the world, yet independent of the world, for their satisfaction, for their contentment comes from God and not from favorable circumstances. Because Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 5:11-12. So blessed are you does not mean untroubled are you, or healthy are you, or admired are you, or prosperous are you. It means between you and God, all is well. You're deeply secure, profoundly content, happy in God. I like the way the Amplified Bible brings out the term blessed. Happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward condition. Don't let broken relationships steal this blessed state of peace and contentment, which are independent of the circumstances. Well, the fifth thief that could steal your peace is when you're not in the will of God. To be in the will of God is to have wisdom from above on how to handle a situation. We read in James 3, verses 13 through 18, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant. Boast oneself to the injury of a person or thing, and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good works, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wisdom is knowing how to take truth and apply it to life. Wisdom is application of knowledge. Wisdom is walking in the truth. As we read in James 3 and 17, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You know, when you lack peace, it's time to seek the Lord in prayer. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, we read, in the King James Version, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, this passage teaches that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. So when you know that you have the will of God in your heart, which is good and acceptable and perfect, then you'll have peace. That same passage in the Amplified reads, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. The book of Proverbs is a good place to read and learn about wisdom and knowledge. The sixth thief is when peace leaves, check to see if God wants to reveal something. You know, many times when a spirit-filled believer finds a heart burdened and cannot find reason for the lack of peace, the Holy Ghost is quickening us to pray and intercede. Now, mind you, it's not always for ourselves. It could be for the lost. It could be for the church. It could be someone across the world in another place that you'll never see that needs prayer. Remember what Romans 8, 26 through 28 tells us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You know, I can remember as a young child being taught to pray through. Or when you had a burden, you prayed until you had peace and you knew that the victory had been won. Perfect peace. The final thief that could steal your peace, number seven, is when there is no peace, check to see if there's sin in your life. You know, sinners never have a true inward peace because God makes it very clear that the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's found in Isaiah 57:20 through 21. And in Romans 3:16 and 17, it says, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. But there is good news to be found in 1 John 1:8-9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But we read in verse 9 that it says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, when we confess our sin, it implies a repentance or a turning from sin. And then we find there's even more good news in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then we read in Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, the message reads this way. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitment, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. So, peace, that perfect peace that comes from the Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, the peace that we come to know and understand when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, that peace that grows even greater when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, what do we do when peace leaves? Well, I want to encourage you to check your external circumstances. Check your thoughts and your imaginations. Check your gas tank. What are you filled with? Are you filled with the Spirit or are you filled with the flesh? Check your relationships. See if there's any that might be broken. See if there's any forgiveness that needs to restitution and forgiveness that needs to be given. See if you're following the will of God for you. Is God calling you into a time of prayer and intercession? And check to see if there's any unconfessed sin in your heart. You know, when you are afraid, you just put your trust in the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. He is the answer to your anxious thoughts, your worry, your distress, and He wants to keep you in perfect peace because He is the Prince of Peace. And because He is, He can give peace. Then walk in the light in obedience to His word to maintain that peace. Let me leave you with this little verse. Fierce passions discompose the mind, as tempests vex the sea. But calm content and peace we find when, Lord, we turn to Thee.
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries, again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. According to Numbers 6:24-26.
Well, oh, to be His hand extended, oh, reaching out to the oppressed. Oh, let me touch Him. Let me touch Jesus so that others